That's not too good of English, but anyhow. Look at somebody and say, he's gooder than you know. He's gooder than you know. Amen. I want us to look at Revelation chapter number 19 tonight. And we're still talking about consecration, warfare, sanctification, something you don't hear a lot anymore. Sanctification, setting apart, talking about warfare actually. But your warfare is only going to be as good and as potent and as powerful as your sanctification is. Amen. Revelation 19, verse 1. Listen to what it says. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he had judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. Somebody say, praise God. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen. Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to this again. Verse number 7. Let us be glad. Let us be glad. And do what? Rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. How many are longing for that day? Longing for the marriage supper of the Lamb. You are betrothed. You do know that. Engaged. Somebody say, I'm engaged. Y'all are the saddest looking bunch of engaged people I've ever seen in my life. See, you ought to see my ring. See, he's telling us something right here. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. My God, you could have said that 20 years ago and 5 or 6 old ladies would have got up and danced around the church. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. The marriage of the Lamb has come. Listen. And his wife, you and me, hath made herself ready. Hath made herself ready. So are you making yourself ready? Are you making yourself ready for the marriage to Jesus? Somebody say amen or oh me. Amen. You might be saying oh me. And then in Revelation chapter number 12, where he says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Somebody say, great wrath. So, Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We ask you to grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. And Holy Spirit, we lean heavily upon you tonight. You lead us and guide us and have your ways. Speak to me, through me, and for me. Father, we thank you tonight for your precious gifts, your presence and power. Lord, in Jesus Christ's name we pray, and everybody said amen. 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 So we as the bride say, I am the bride of Christ. I am the bride of Christ. We touched on this some last week, is that we should be preparing ourselves to be married to him. Somebody say, I need to prepare myself to be married to Jesus. And so in considering warfare tonight, we could be calling this, you know, preparing the warring bride. Because one of the things that we're going to learn that we have to do is to prepare ourselves, warring in the spirit, casting off the things that the enemy places on us, and then getting rid of the stuff that has we've been enticed by and invited into our lives. You must understand that no spot, no wrinkle is going to enter into that place. Only the garments that are white. You know, I'm amazed sometimes at what Christians get hooked up to and what they allow into their lives, not even asking the Holy Spirit the question, should I do this? Should I have this? Should I allow this to be part of me? What would Jesus do? Say WWJD. What would Jesus do? Remember this word that we talked about last week, that the devil has come down having great wrath. It comes from the word thamos, and it means burning fierce indignation. That means that the devil is going to be relentless against you with burning anger. And in him, it is a passion of fire, because he knows that you're created in the likeness and the image of God, and he will do anything that he can to mar that image, to spot you, to put blemishes upon your life. And it's important that if I know that I'm espoused to him, if I'm betrothed to Jesus, that I'm going to make sure every day of my life that I'm unspotted, without blemish, blameless before him in love. Somebody say hallelujah. That's what the scripture teaches. Somebody say that's what the scripture teaches. I don't think any of us would be excited about marrying a whore. Amen. Got real quiet. Oh, it gets quiet. So it's evident today, think about this, that darkness is covering the earth. Gross darkness is upon humanity. So while we acknowledge tonight that there is a devil, we understand that he has great wrath and that his anger is fierce, and it's against the redeemed of the Lord, because he wants to do anything he can, as we said, to mar you, to spot you, to blemish you, to try to get you into something that God never intended you to get into. Very reason. So our position tonight as the redeemed of the Lord is to say to myself, I'm going to live a life connected to Jesus, who is the bridegroom, and I'm going to live for him and not spot myself by the world. Amen. I'm going to have to come down there and preach. Oh, I will. You don't want no blemish on you. You don't want any wrinkles in that wedding dress. Amen. There's a lot to that. You should do a word study on that and study about those things, because that's what the scripture is telling us. Your eternal salvation and you going to heaven and you sitting at that marriage supper of the Lamb should be important enough for you to sit down and study that on your own. You should say, my God, I'm the bride of Jesus, and I'm wondering if I'm pleasing him. Am I acting like a harlot bride? Am I flirting around with other people? Am I getting connected to things and that are displeasing to him? Am I in idolatry? Am I messing around with idols? Am I messing around with false gods? What am I involving my life in? Could I be displeasing Jesus? Somebody say, amen. Amen. But I want to say this to you tonight, is that we, at the same time, we got to realize that our position of warfare is not one of defeat, not with us. I'm not from the defeated position. Mine is victory. Somebody say, mine is victory. But if I got spots and blemishes, it's not. Come on. If I got wrinkles, it's not. And so Jesus didn't give me spots and wrinkles and blemishes. He came with his holy blood and fire and cleansed me, pressed out my garments, took away the spots and the blemishes, made me his righteousness. Amen? And so I don't want to do anything. I don't want to go back out again and turn back to the world and go into the things of the world to find my satisfaction. I got a single eye. Somebody say single eye. Single eye for Jesus. And so in my position, see, it is so easy to live for Jesus. I marvel sometimes. I hear some people say, I'm just going to quit. Why? What you going to do when you quit? I'm just going to give up. Duh. You're going to give up? You're just choosing hell over heaven. The devil over Jesus. Darkness over light. Evil over good. So you're telling me that you want to be like a pig and go back and get in the mire again. Or you want to be like a dog and go back and eat your vomit. That's what Peter said. Amen. And so I think sometimes the devil, they just let him do anything that he wants to do to them. They need to go back and take a checkup from the neck up. Find out what's going on inside their spirit man. Mm-hmm. I promise it's going to get better. Just hang on. So Jesus has put me in a position where my warfare is one of victory. I'm already triumphant. I'm already victorious. I already have that in Jesus' name. My garments are unspotted. I have no blemishes. My wrinkles are been ironed out by the fire of God. I stand before him as his righteousness. Glory to God. What in the world would I want to go back to the other stuff for? Huh? Why? Why? And so he's given me great authority. Somebody say, he's given to me great authority. Great authority through his name. And so God in Isaiah identifies the darkness covering the earth and the gross darkness. But the Spirit didn't stop there. And this is what I want you to get. Why am I here? Why are you here tonight? Why are you in the body of Christ? Why? Okay. So this is first and foremost. And so the Lord says to the believer, to Israel, which is you and me. Somebody say you and me. He says to them, he said, but the Lord tells you to rise up, for the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you. Now listen, Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 7, and this is the Message translation. Get out of bed. Get out of bed, Jerusalem. I could say, get out of bed, church. Put your face in the sunlight. God's bright glory has risen for you. The whole earth is wrapped in darkness. All people have sunk into deep darkness. But God rises on you. See, God's putting a distinction here, and he says, I want you to understand, you are not darkness, you are light. And as long as you're here, darkness cannot come but so far. Listen. The whole earth is wrapped in darkness. All people are sunk in darkness, but God rises on you. His sunrise glory breaks over you. Nations will come to your light. Kings to the sunburst brightness. So that tells you that your position in Christ Jesus is one for the glory of God is resting on you. And darkness, you are the one that God sends into the gross darkness. You're the ones that God sends into the darkness to push it back. Somebody say to push it back. Matter of fact, I would say this tonight. I believe that we're on the cusp of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's important for me to understand, hey, it's dark out there. It's going to get darker. The devil's doing his thing, and he's working on people over time. It's like the scripture says, the Holy One of Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. I can guarantee you the devil doesn't either. He's up 24-7, and he's scheming in some way or another to get at you and to spot your garment. Somebody say, yes, he is. And so I believe that there is an awareness that's coming to believers. I believe that that's happening right now. Is there something changing in the atmosphere on planet Earth? Because I believe that our prayers have ascended up to heaven, and I believe that God has smelt that good, sweet incense of our prayers. We could say that that is the beginning of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. So I remember back a few years ago in the first election when we prayed two nights a week and we fasted and we prayed, for Donald Trump and for the presidency. And a lot of people felt like we got let down because another guy got it. And there was like this dark depression that began to settle upon things. And then all of a sudden, this time around, we saw that wave of the red come. and things began to change, but something shifted in the atmosphere. Somebody say, something shifted in the atmosphere. See, I want to stir up your faith tonight and stir up your believing capacity that for some fresh anointing to come upon your life. Somebody say, I need some fresh oil. See, presently, I believe that there's far too many in the body of Christ, and maybe even present here tonight, far too many that are lacking the merry heart. Somebody say, the merry heart. So I want you to listen to this out of James chapter number 5, verse number 13. Maybe you haven't looked at it this way before. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Well, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. So is any afflicted? This comes from the Greek word that means, is anyone suffering troubles and evils and hardships? And so he tells us that our warfare is this. If you want to defeat that, this is what he says. Let him pray. What does it mean? That means that lots of times when you begin to get afflicted by your adversary, remember David said this in the Psalms, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. When you get under that affliction and that suffering, those evils and those troubles that the enemy begins to bring into your life, God says, pray to me. Why? Because you're being stretched and he wants your faith to grow and he wants you not to get discouraged, but to understand he is your father and he wants you to call upon him, because when he answers and breaks the power of that suffering and those hardships and those evil, his name is going to be glorified and you're going to be encouraged to go out into the darkness and set other people free in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let him pray. Let him make his appeal to God. Let him invoke the name of the Lord. See, we very seldom do that. When I, you know, because as a pastor, I see, man, when people get in trouble, you very hardly ever see anybody saying, Jesus, deliver me. I need you to come to my rescue. I need you to break into my life. I need you to get rid of these devils that are messing with me. I need you to change the atmosphere around me. God, I need your help. I call upon you in the name of the Lord. Somebody say amen. I call up. See, we will never know how powerful the name of the Lord is until we begin to invoke the name that is above every name. Come on. That's set far above all the principality and power. When we invoke the name, see, the devil expects you to go tell somebody about your problem, because we're famous for that stuff. Man, I'm going to tell you something. I've been hammering the devil this week and last week and the week before and 365 days. I get up in the morning and I hammer his head. What do I hammer him with? With praises to God first, and then I worship him. I pray in the Holy Ghost. I hammer the head of the devil. And I say, Father, in Jesus' name, you know what this devil is up to, and I'm asking you to remove him. God says, cast him out. Cast him out. Is any merry among you? Let him sing songs. Let him sing songs. Let him sing songs. What David say in Psalm 8, I was nigh unto death. The powers of hell compassed me about. The bulls of Bashan were after me. He said, man, the devil, I was right one step away from death. I called on the name of the Lord and he thundered out of heaven. My God, that's my God. I don't know about you. I don't know what kind of God you're serving, but my God thunders out of heaven. When the devil starts messing, I'm going to turn to the one that created the heavens and the earth. The God who has all power, I'm going to call upon his name, and he's going to thunder out of heaven. And I love this. A smoke went out of his nostrils. I'm like, devil, if I was you, I think I'd go dig me a hole to hell as quick as I could. Because God's coming after you like a big bull. Smoke went out of his nose. A fire went out of him. My God. Somebody said, with a God like that, how can you lose? Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Let him sing songs. Just make up songs. Just sing to Jesus. Just give him praise. Why? Because a merry heart doeth like a medicine. Somebody said it does like a medicine. This is James. James is telling us something now. Get ready. Get ready. Is any sick? Now, this comes in the word kamno in the Greek, and it means, is anybody feeble? Is anybody faint? Has anybody grown weary? Has anybody gotten tired? Huh? I want you to listen to this strategy in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. He's talking about the spirit of Antichrist in the last days and the working of demonic spirits. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. Your God can't help you. Your God is not more powerful than I am. Your God's not going to, he can't do anything for you. How many knows that's a lie? I know a lot of people that believe that stuff. Amen. Now listen, he says, speaking against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Did you hear that, what the devil's doing? This spirit of Antichrist that is in our land right now. Somebody say, right now. This spirit that has been at work in our nation, the spirit of Antichrist, is meant to wear out the saints of the Most High. Are you listening? And he'll think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand a little time and times and the dividing of time. So this word wear out comes from the word bela, and it means he will harass continually. Somebody say harass. Say continually. He's not going to let up. Somebody say he won't quit. It means to harass constantly. It means to wear down. It means to afflict. It means to wear away in the mental sense. The devil wants to get in your head, and he wants to work on you to the point where instead of you turning to God, you turn against God. Where instead of you turning to God and to call upon his mighty name and ask him and pray for him to give you breakthrough, he wants to cause you to turn away from the Lord. He wants to wear you down to where you are so weary and fatigued and worn out that you become sick. This is what James is saying right here. And this is what the scripture is telling us, all right? So our warfare against this, it's what James is telling us. He said, look, is any sick among you? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders, anoint him with oil, lay hands on them, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. The elders, he's talking about older, proven people that are mature in the spirit. All right? That's what he's really referring to. The prayer of faith shall save, everybody say save, sozo, shall save, shall deliver, shall protect, shall heal, shall make whole, shall save from suffering, shall deliver from disease, shall rescue and bring restoration. Now, I was thinking about that because the Lord gave me this little mini vision a few weeks back, and he said, I want you to have a fire tunnel. And I want you to get people that know that they've got Holy Ghost fire. He said, I don't care if it's three or four, but people with Holy Ghost fire to lay hands on people in that fire tunnel because they are my elders and you pour the oil on them and I'm going to put fresh anointing upon their life and I'm going to bring restoration. I'm going to rescue them. I'm going to turn things around. I'm going to refresh them. I'm going to revive them. I'm going to cause them to be absolutely restored. Somebody say hallelujah. See, this is what James is saying. He's telling us, and that's part of our warfare. Because when we get beat down by the devil, we're in warfare, and we're under mental duress and stress, and all kinds of hell is breaking out, stuff that we don't ask for. Amen. Something happened in my family. Something happened to my grandpa. Something happened to my kid. Something happened on my job. Something attacked me in my body. I mean, it's unrelenting. It is harassment nonstop that's coming against me. And we get so worn down. Listen, we become weary. What does the scripture say? Grow not weary in your well-doing. So how am I going to not grow weary in my well-doing? I'm going to have to couple myself to James chapter 5 and say, wait a minute, I want to get in the fire tunnel. I need some Holy Ghost fire people to lay their hands on me and pour the oil of anointing on me and pray for me so that I can be supercharged by the Holy Ghost and fire and come out of this in Jesus' name, so that I can be healed. Somebody say, that I can be healed. Amen. Amen. Because he wants to wear out the saints of the Most High God. Because when you're weary and you're worn out, you're no good for the kingdom. You're no good for your family. You're no good for your kids. You're no good for nothing. I know that sounds bad, doesn't it? But listen to what he's saying. Because he said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against. See, those demons are relentless at coming against your life. Because number one, he wants you to quit and give up. As then I said, to go back to what? To give up on what? To give up and do what? What are you going to do that for? Why do you want to spot your garments? Why do you want to fall by the wayside? Because the devil is trying to tell you that God doesn't love you. If God loved you, all this stuff wouldn't be coming against you. On the contrary, God has given you an opportunity and let the enemy rise up against you so that you can invoke his name and show the devil how great your God is and that your faith in your God will deliver you. Come on, somebody. It's like me saying like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm not even careful how to answer you, O king, but this thing I do know, my God is able to deliver me. But if he doesn't, I have enough peace that I can walk in that furnace, and if I perish, I perish. But see, I've got enough sense to know if I go in the fire, he's going with me. If I'm going to the cross to be crucified, he's going with me. To be absent from the body is to be present in the Lord. Come on. See, our minds work against us, and the devil is constant coming against us to try to wear us down, to fatigue us, to cause us to give up. Amen. But he'll deliver us. Somebody say, for he shall deliver me. The Lord is nigh me. He shall deliver me. He shall rescue me. Weary, tired, beat up, fatigued saints cannot be effective. The devil knows this. And sad to say, across Christendom, we have very few preachers that can do anything about anything like that. Amen? I think what the one old timer said, we got too many Christianettes listening to sermonettes. And we need some Holy Ghost fire. We need somebody that can cast this devil out. We need somebody that when they lay hands on me, it feels like a lightning bolt hit me in the top of my head and ran through my body. I need somebody that can pray the prayer of faith for me. If I know I'm in battle and if I know I'm fatigued, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm not going to give up. I'm going to get in the midst of the presence and the power of God and say, man, lay your hands on me. Actually, to anoint means to smear with oil. I'm saying, get that stuff and rub it on me, man. Say, rub it in, rub it in. Rub-a-dub-dub. Say, smear me. Say, the Christians are going on a smear campaign. We're going to smear one another with oil. Somebody say amen. I love this. So God is giving the weapon. Listen, it gets better. Giving us the weapon of laying on of hands. What did he say in Mark chapter number 16? You as a believer in Jesus' name, if you invoke the name of Jesus and you use those hands, everybody put your hands out in front of you. Say, these hands are anointed hands. They haven't been in a cesspool of sin. These hands are holy hands. Remember, Paul said, lift up holy hands without wrath and doubt. I want to invoke the name of Jesus because he said, these signs shall follow them that believe his name. They shall what? Cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on these sick and they shall recover. My God. My God, your spouse is probably the greatest weapon you got. Say, honey, go soak those hands in some oil. I'm serious. I'm not playing games. I believe this stuff. I practice this. Amen. You know, when you fast, you're supposed to anoint yourself with oil. Did you know that? So that you don't appear to fast. So he's telling you the oil of gladness is going to pep you up and help you. Somebody say amen. Amen. So here it is. He says, you have in your hands all that you need. somebody has in their hands what you need. So in that fire tunnel, when we lay hands on people, anointing them with oil, they're going to receive from what's in the hands. What did the scripture say? What's in your hand? What is in your hands? What's in your hands? Sometimes you need to go, come out, you devil, in Jesus' name. Say, be delivered, be set free in the name of Jesus. Think about this. So the enemy knows that through constant harassment, that the people that get mentally duressed, mentally defeated, can recover by somebody, some believer full of faith, and the anointing can lay hands on them. A mature believer, lay hands on them. Amen. And they will recover. They recover from their, because they recover. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Sick from the pressure. Sick from the tension. Sick from the problem. Sick from the stress. Sick through harassment. Sick through abuse. Sick through weariness. Sick through trouble. See, we can say, like Reverend Ike used to say, you can't lose to the stuff I use. Man, I got the anointing. Somebody say, I have the anointing. The anointing, the anointing, the anointing. See, it comes from an overflow, and this is important. That's why that when you go through a fire tunnel or someone is, you're coming down a prayer line and people are praying over you and laying hands on you, that is because they are imparting something to you. You'll lay hands on the sick and they shall what? Recover breath. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover from sickness. You shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover from oppression. You'll lay hands on the sick. You'll lay hands on the sick. James said, let them anoint him with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if he's committed any sin, they shall be forgiven him. Amen. So think about this tonight, because we have to have something to give out. So if I'm weary and I'm tired, I want some Holy Ghost fire person that's on fire, that has a prayer life, that knows Jesus, that has the anointing to lay their hands on me and pray for me. Amen. Say, lay hands on me. Lay hands on me. Lay hands on me. Stir this thing up into a mighty flame. So this is what James is saying. See, this is part of my warfare, part of our warfare. Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spirits of wickedness in high places, the prince and the power of the air, the harassment that is continually coming from the devil. Amen. And see, the thing about it, you can tell people this. It's almost like speaking high German or Japanese or something like that, because they're like, huh? See, you need to understand, it is a spiritual thing that happens. Somebody say spiritual. Spiritual, spiritual. Think about what he said. He said, beloved, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith. Huh? Consider your hands as lethal weapons. I know one of the things that stood out to me about reading about Smith Wigglesworth is that there's so many stories about him. One in particular stands out. He was on a train, and a person on the train was talking about being sick. He said inside of him, he wanted them to shut up. He wanted to get his hands on them and cast that thing out. He wanted to get his hands on them and pray for them. And he said they kept talking and kept talking, and said finally when they quit, he said he jumped up and laid his hands on them and commanded it to go. And they were healed. Amen. Say, what is in me is greater than he that is in the world. See, understand this tonight. Jesus did not leave his bride on this earth to be beat up, discouraged, weary, failing, full of faults, regardless of what some people think. Some people, and listen to what I'm going to tell you tonight, regardless of what some people believe, they will fight for the right to live in sin. They will fight for the right to live loose. They will fight for the right for hyper grace. To say, oh, God's grace takes care of it. Honey, you're skating on some really thin ice. Amen? Listen, Why don't we fight for the right to be full of the power of God and the anointing of the Holy Ghost that destroys the yoke and lifts the burden? Somebody say hallelujah to God. So we need to consider our hands lethal weapons. Can you imagine what the devil does when he sees a saint that's anointed and people full of faith that lay hands on sick people, that when they begin to pray over them, it drives the devil crazy. Matter of fact, I think he probably begins to pack his bags and run. Somebody say yes. Also, consider your tongue a lethal weapon. In my name, they shall speak with new tongues. My tongue is a lethal weapon. Somebody say, my tongue is a lethal weapon because I can speak life and I can speak commands and I can make declarations. And so as the warrior bride, the first thing I want to do, number one, I want to always be pleasing the groom. Amen? Oh, my God. You know, every one of us here that are married, when we met that woman, think just for a few moments now. Think for a few moments. You would dress just right. And you ladies would just dress just right. You'd make sure you stand in front of that mirror and look at yourself and inspect yourself. And then you'd go sniff 20 different colognes to see which one you wanted to wear. You'd go through the closet and try to find the garment that looked the best on you. Come on, somebody. That would put you on a display before the groom that would make the difference. Because, after all, you want to capture the heart of the groom. Is that right? Yeah. Amen. And so I want to please him. And as a warrior bride, he has given me so many things in my toolbox. And listen, it is not a sin to grow weary. It is not a sin to get sick. It is a sin not to depend on Jesus and the weapons that he's given us and not use them. Because him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So you think tonight, God, lay hands on me. I want to be refreshed. We're going to sing and sing, oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. See, we need hands laid on us for the refreshing. That's what the Spirit of the Lord said. Amen. So I want you to stand with me tonight. I'm going to stop right here because, it's a good place to stop. Hallelujah. I want us tonight, I would hate for it to snow this weekend. Somebody say, I would too. Amen. Just supposed to rain. Hallelujah. I want us tonight, if you are going through the press, weary, beaten down, if it's been a constant harassment, and you just say, man, I need somebody to lay hands on me, and I want some strength. I want what James said in James chapter 5. Anoint me with oil. Lay hands on me and pray over me so that the prayer of faith will raise me up. And that I can be made whole in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want that, I want you to come tonight. We will lay hands on you before we get out of here. Because I'm going to tell you, the Lord's here. This is his word. He will honor it tonight. If you want it, I want you to come. Amen. And I want some Holy Ghost fire people down here with me. You got Holy Ghost fire, I want you to come right here where I'm at. Holy Ghost fire. Don't let me stand down here by myself and don't make me come and get you. Amen. Amen. All right. I want all of y'all to move down there and form a line that are weary, just want their hands laid on you tonight, whichever one. Go on down. Get